Amen. Thank you, Rob.
So for that special, he sings that from time to time. I like that song very much. Thank you so much, Rob. Taking our Bibles this morning, turning to the book of Acts, chapter number 4. Acts, the 4th chapter. It seems like Sunday morning service goes by so fast, it just makes you wish there were more, you know it? Well, there is. We'll be back here tonight at 6. Many of you will. And if you're not accustomed to getting back on Sunday night, come and give us a try on Sunday night, 6 o'clock. Actually, my favorite service of the week. Sunday night at 6. Choir will be meeting just prior to that at 5:10 tonight, practicing. And then, of course, we'll be here for our big service on Wednesday evening at 7. Special music from BCM, Falls Baptist Church, up in Wisconsin. Now, Larry will be able to understand him okay, coming from Wisconsin. He knows the lingo up there a little bit. Wisconsin, they have to say things a little bit differently up there. They're a bunch of cheeseheads from Wisconsin, but we'll look forward to their good music on Wednesday night here together. Got your spot in Acts chapter number 4. And reading the first verse together, Acts 4, 1. As they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. It came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set before them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing before them, they could say nothing against it. And let's pray together. Lord, would you tune our hearts to receive your word? Your design this morning is that we would be open and receptive, so we ask you would help us as we fall into alignment with what you would have for us this morning. I pray that the word of God in truth and in boldness would be proclaimed and would be received, and in effectiveness would be lived in these perilous days in which we find ourselves. We thank you for those gathered in this room. Lord, many of these people we've known for years and years. Some are our new acquaintances, some are brand new. We just ask that whatever our need and whatever our position in this situation, our lives might be right now, that you would just work wonderfully in our midst according to our innermost need of our hearts. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These are early exciting days in the New Testament church history that we find before us. There were many obstacles and much opposition to what was happening in these early days. Shortly after the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and that launching, that miraculous, marvelous launching on the day of Pentecost of the mighty works that God was working before the very presence of these new believers, and of course these seasoned Jews that surrounded them. But now these disciples responded to all of this opposition and to the resistance that was cropping up against them with boldness, with boldness. In fact, boldness is seen more often in the book of Acts than any other book in the scripture. It's interesting in checking that out, just this word boldness. If you check all throughout the Bible, it's found more prevalently in the book of Acts than anywhere else in scripture than in all the Bible. What in the world is boldness? What it is perhaps best described by what it isn't. You've had that experience before in trying to define or to decide what something is, and it often helps you to acknowledge what it is not in order to help you understand what it really is. So let's see what it isn't, or what it is opposed to, or what the opposite of boldness would be. So let's just think along these terms, if we would. Boldness is not fear. Boldness is not fear. They would be diametric opposites of each other. Boldness and fear. Now we seem to see that right before our very eyes today, don't we? This matter of people walking in fear. There's a lot of fear out and around today. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed how fearful people are? I notice that just in my normal going and coming and working around. In fact, I saw that yesterday in a certain place of business, a store. You've experienced it as well. I know you have. And you'll walk around the end of a counter and you'll meet someone and they'll walk way wide around you. Almost like, oh, he's got the plague. He's going to catch something, going to get something bad from him. And you've seen that, haven't you? And what's indicative? Well, people are fearful. They're scared. And I know what they're scared of. And I was just thinking about some of the backdrop of all that's happening. I was thinking of the word quarantine. We hear that a lot. We've been hearing it for months, quarantine. Did you know a quarantine properly is when you take somebody sick and you take them out of circulation? But we sort of worked the reverse of that in America, didn't we? We took all the healthy people and put them away and let all the sick people out. And let the sick people out of the prisons, and then they take the sick people and put them in nursing homes. Betty, wasn't that a terrible thing in the state of New York? And we're vitally concerned about, hey, I've got a sister-in-law. Dustin's got a mom. She hadn't seen anybody in the family for months. Nobody at all. Can't see her. Can't have anything to do with her. Can't get in. She can't get out. And there's just been some real bad things. But a lot of it is precipitated by fear. I don't have to educate you about that. You see it. Some of you yourselves are fearful. You're fearful. Some of you would have reason to be, and some would not. Fear is it's a paralyzing thing. It is. It's the thing that does bad things to you to walk in fear. It really does. Well, get off of that. The opposite of that would be boldness. Boldness. Now, boldness is based not on ignorant bravery. Boldness would, and I kind of are referring back to this COVID situation that we find ourselves in because it's fresh and premier on everybody's minds, even just to get up and move around anywhere today. But boldness would not be embracing this attitude. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if I get sick or not. I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. That's not the boldness I'm speaking of. Boldness actually is coupled with faith and trust. Faith and trust. Fear is based on wrong thinking or believing a lie. And I'm really, really concerned about the American public right now because I sense, I'm assured that we've been fed some lies or some faulty information to manipulate people in certain ways. I know that's true. I know it is. And you can say, well, preacher, you're buying into this conspiracy stuff. Well, there is a conspiracy, and it's very real. It's very real. I'm not going to tell you who's behind it. You got to figure that out for yourself. Ultimately, the evil one, Satan himself, is behind it. But there are bad things that are being said and that are being marketed and they are being used to make you fearful and to cause you to be in bondage and fear. Now, the opposite of that is boldness, and my whole message is not to get in the harp on this coronavirus business and all that. That's not it. I'm very opinionated when it comes to that, and so are you. And I would respect your opinion and your sentiments and your feelings. Why someone asked me last week, they kind of jumped me after the service. They said, "Preacher, why are you downplaying this idea of wearing masks in your church?" I said, I'm not. Our church people know if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, don't. If you want to come to the services and be with everybody else, come and be here. If you want to be home, if you want to isolate yourself, do it. That's up to you. We're free moral agents, aren't we? You know, it doesn't stop at salvation. When we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, we make constant decisions all the time. And not as important as a decision about our eternal soul, of course. But when it comes to this, we make these decisions. But I am really, really fearful that a lot of things that are happening before our very eyes are designed to manipulate and control your thinking along certain lines. And in the end, it's to cause you to be fearful and defeated when it comes to a lot of things that are happening right now. Well, let's leave that. This boldness is based on right thinking, on faith and trust. Now, I like people to be able to think for themselves. Did you know that you can do that? Isn't it a privilege to be able to think for yourself and to be able to make decisions and determinations? Some of you choose to do one thing. Some would choose to do another. And your decisions are going to impact you now and perhaps even eternally in ways. But think. Use your brain that God gave you and be reasonable and be rational. And let's not be crammed into a mold where we are laboring in fear based on wrong thinking, believing a lie that someone has put out. Now, I'm not here to tell you what the truth is. You can figure that out for yourself. I'm here to tell you what God's Word says the truth is, and that's absolutely solid foundation, firm ground for us to stand upon. Caution. Boldness is based on right thinking, not just on your opinion. Now, I can have an opinion about something, and I can be right. In fact, I can be dead right. I can be dead and right, and that's still my opinion. So your dead right opinion won't always take you out at the right spot, but this matter of boldness is really based upon right thinking, not just on your opinion, as opinionated as you may be. I would think about some areas spiritually thinking, of course, in our midst today. We need to see boldness in prayer. Boldness in prayer. Boldness in prayer. Now, there's some verses that will help us in Hebrews chapter 4 concerning boldness in prayer, and I believe it will be a key verse for us to use in a treatment of boldness in prayer. Flip there if you have, if you're just able to, Hebrews the 4th chapter, and look down to the 16th verse when you find Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. The verse simply says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And I know that there is an extended context that would be incorporated, that this verse would be incorporated into, but there is the truth that we may come boldly under the throne of grace in prayer, and we need boldness in our praying. Now, what is our boldness based upon? What is the basis of our boldness? Are we bold in prayer because I'm a smart person? No, it's not it. That's not it. Are we bold in our praying because I have a better plan or a better idea? No, it's not that. Is it boldness in prayer because maybe we have some sort of education or degree or something like that, some qualification? No, it's not that. Our boldness in prayer is based on faith in the promises of God. It's based in believing what God has said and what God has promised. Did you know that this book, the Bible, is full of the promises of God that may be claimed? They may be taken as our very own by prayer, believing God at His Word. The Lord just loves it when we come to Him in faith, reminding Him of promises. He loves it when we pray, say, Lord, You said in Your Word, if we would do this and You would do this. He just loves that. He loves to be reminded of His promises. His promises are faithful and sure, and we can have boldness in prayer. Now, James talks about this matter of a double-minded man, and he speaks about praying but not really believing it is the context that he's talking about. And he ends up by saying, don't expect God to answer anything if you're going to pray that way. We need to be bold in our expectations, in our belief, in claiming the promises of God and say, Lord, this is what You said, and I'm asking You to do that. Now, could we think of some common prayer promises? I think of a wonderful one that's found in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, where Jeremiah reminds us of a truth that we find all throughout Scripture, and it simply says, call unto Me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Boldness in prayer. Say, God, I'm calling on You because there's no one else I can call upon. God, there's no one else can do what You have, and You promised that if I call, You'd answer. Praying the promises of God and expecting in boldness that He'll answer those prayers, not because we're good people, because of His promise to us. Secondly, there's boldness in holy living. Boldness in righteousness and holy living. Now, why do we live lives that are separate and clean and holy and pure unto God? Is it so we can look good? Is it because of a matter of pride? No, it's not that at all. It's because of the holy God that we serve, and we can be bold in that. Now, quite honestly, our society in America is basically down the tubes. And just nearly gone as far as the structure of our society. Would you believe just a few short years ago that there would be almost a self-destruction of our very American society? Would you have dreamed just a few short months ago that there would be a national outcry, get rid of the policemen everywhere, dissolve the law enforcement, defund them, cut them back, get them off the streets and send counselors that we've trained in to handle this situation. It's nearly over as far as that is concerned, but there is a God in heaven who's going to take into account His few that still remain. Did you know that they're simply like this, the Old Testament prophet? You know, when Elijah was having his little pity party, he said, oh, Lord, it's just me, and I'm the only one left. There's nobody else. They've all gone off after Baal. And the Lord says, there's thousands of you. There's thousands of you that have never bowed the knee. Don't lose faith. There are God's people everywhere in America that believe Him and that are pleading His promises. And that's why we need revival among God's people right now. Right now, it's life and death as far as America is concerned. You say, well, it all depends upon this election. No, it's far bigger than that. It's far greater than that, and I'm really concerned about what's going to happen in this election, aren't you? I really am. I'm really concerned about it. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to do my part. I really am. I'd like to see good men, sensible men that could think and speak and could project themselves in a way that would please God a little bit, and that's sort of a rarity when it comes to a politician. I guess Sam told me this. You know what politics is? Is what it's a compound word. Politics. Poly means many, and ticks are blood-sucking animals. He said that's what politics would be. And he may have something there. He may be onto something right there. Now, that's just to see if you're still awake. Okay, you are. And we're not getting off into politics this morning, but, you know, God can use men. He can use men that are fallible, men that are imperfect. In fact, if He uses any of us, He's going to use men like that, right? He's going to use men that are imperfect and that are fallible. Maybe some would do better than others, but most of us need a lot of help from God. And he's got a few men, and I am looking at some of the political advertisements and some things that are sent. There's some pretty good people out there running. There's some pretty pretty admirable people that are they are openly proclaiming the truth about certain things, and that would be a reflection on God's things, and I like that. And they're going to get my vote. They are. And there's some others that are not. Well, boldness in holy living. We need a revival of that. Boldness in witnessing. Now, the context of Acts chapter 4 obviously would major on this particular point. The disciples were repeatedly arrested. They were in prison, and they were threatened, and they were even beaten and said, "Now, don't speak in that name anymore, or else." And what did they do? As soon as they got out, they were found in the temple again witnessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was boldness in witnessing. They didn't care what was said. They didn't care what the consequences were. They were going to continue to trumpet the truth of the good news that Jesus Christ is the Savior that the whole world needs. And if the world needed the Lord Jesus then, how much more now? By the millions and billions now. And then boldness in preaching. Boldness in preaching. I am trying my best to forget that this is being live streamed to the corners of the world, because there are some things that I would like to say and some things that I slip up and inadvertently say that maybe you say, "Well, you really want to say that live streaming?" Let's see, Doug and Cindy are gone this morning, and so I got the warning this morning as we were getting ready to start Sunday school about 10 minutes early. Said, "Oh, by the way, Pastor, the live stream is already up and running." Said, "Whoops. Let's be real careful what we say in our greetings before the service." You know, not that you would say anything improperly, but if you just thought every word that I'm saying is being broadcast to the corners of the world live stream, it might affect some things that we'd say. We need boldness in preaching. We do. We need to proclaim boldly without fear of what man would do or say. And we need boldness when it comes time to die. We need boldness in death. Now, part of the reason that there is fear in this COVID situation that we're going through right now is because people are scared to death to die. They're just afraid they're going to catch some bug and they're going to get sick and die. Well, it's not really something I have at the top of my list for today to do, but it could happen. And if it does, well, it's not a bad thing, is it? According to the Scripture, according to God's Word, we sang the song a while ago, "What If It Were Today?" What if it were today? And by the way, that song kind of mixes up a little bit two aspects of the coming of the Lord Jesus. It says, coming to claim His chosen bride. Well, that's going to happen at the rapture. But when He comes to rule and reign and all the rest, that's going to happen at a different point. Sometimes the songwriter's got those the elements of the second coming of the Lord, the different phases of it, mixed up a little bit. And I'll forgive them and sing the song anyway, kind of, if I think about it. But, you know, when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, when He takes us either through the rapture or through death, we can have boldness in death. My mind goes back to, I'd mentioned in Sunday school this morning to our folks that were here about the fact that I had witnessed the death of many, 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 many people, some of them your loved ones. Historically, I've stood at the bedside of many of your loved ones and mine and others and witnessed them draw their last mortal breath and see their body slip into a lifeless condition here before our eyes and go into the presence of the Lord. And it's always a moving experience when that happens to us, but we can be bold when it comes time to die. We don't have to be fearful. It's not the worst thing can happen to you. It isn't. My mind always goes back to my dear grandmother. We thought she was dying. She wasn't. It ended up being sometime before she left, but we were gathered around her, what we thought was deathbed. The hospice nurse had been called in and could not locate a pulse in her, could not take a pulse, could not determine a pulse at all, but she was talking. So we felt relatively sure she's still alive. if she's talking, well, she's still talking. I know she's weak and she's very sick, but the nurse says she has no pulse that we can sense whatsoever. And she was conversing with the family, and my mother asked her, she leaned over her bed, which we thought was her deathbed, and said, "Mom, what's your favorite verse of Scripture?" And she said with confidence, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." And then she added, "And I do trust him." And I do trust him. That's confidence. That's boldness in death, isn't it? That's boldness in death. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Evangelist John Rice said it this way when his life was threatened. "Are you threatening me with heaven?" Not a bad threat, is it? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Boldness in death. I'm not anxious to be martyred or to even die a natural physical death, even though there have been times within the last 7 days when it has crossed my mind that perhaps it would be coming soon. For coming soon. I had one of my dear children invited us on a diving expedition down in South Florida. You know where all the coronavirus is? And we went out with the sharks and the stingrays and the fish, and we went diving, snorkeling, you know. And I learned some things, Phil, Mr. H. You got to be clean shaven to wear a diving mask. It will not seal around whiskers. Even if you just got a stubble from a day or two, your mask does not seal. I said, "Well, maybe we could use Vaseline." He said, "No, there's only one way you can do it, and that is to be clean shaven for that mask to fit your face." Well, that was not good news as we headed to the wild waters. And then we looked at some other things that were happening. I said, "I'm not too sure about this. You know, there were sharks and barracudas and stingrays and all kinds of things." And the thought did cross my mind, "What if we never come back from this trip?" I said, "Well, I don't really want to become shark bait or anything like that, but at least we'd get to go to be with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord." Boldness in death. We need some boldness today, but it needs to be based upon truth and upon faith in God's Word. And then we need to walk boldly and firmly, not arrogantly. I'm not speaking of that. Not proudly. Not in your face. Not out seeking for a fight. Not looking for a conflict. But boldly for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have ample ammunition in Scripture of men that successfully did that in the face of persecution and problems and all the rest, and they exhibited boldness for the Lord Jesus Christ. If ever there were a day when we need to be bold witnesses for Jesus Christ, it's right now. It doesn't matter what the other religions say, or it doesn't matter what the politicians say, or it doesn't matter whether the officials of our nation say, "Well, that's not what we need right now. We need more of this and more of that." We need a bold witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you be that man, that witness for the Lord today? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We can conclude this morning. Thank you so much for your attention and your attendance this morning. In a moment, we'll give the invitation. Perhaps you need to come for help at the altar. You need to come for prayer. We'll have open altars for that. If you need to speak to me, I'd love to help if I could down front. Father, would you undertake now in the invitation time, if there be decisions that ought to be made, would you help them to be boldly made in your name right now together? We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.